hope she's watching, Adley, because I put it on and the little earrings, because it matches perfectly. It does. Doesn't it?
Yeah.
It's amazing how God does that. So, Adley, I'm going to be doing a song especially for you today. So I hope you're watching. We're going to be doing it in just a few minutes. So listen to this. I want to read you what Ephesians says. Read this yesterday. In light of all this, here's what I want you to do. Here's what the Apostle Paul is telling them to do while he's in jail. While I'm locked up here, a prisoner for the master, I want you to get out there and walk. Better yet, run. On the road God called you to travel. I don't want any of you sitting on your hands. I don't want anyone strolling off down some path that goes nowhere. And mark that you do this with humility and discipline, not in fits and starts, but steadily, pouring yourselves out for each other in acts of love, alert at noticing differences and quick at mending fences. You were all called to travel on the same road in the same direction, so stay together, both outwardly and inwardly. You have one master, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who rules over all, works through all, and is present in all. Everything you are and think and do is permeated with oneness. But that doesn't mean you should all look and speak the same. Out of the generosity of Christ, each of us is given his own gift. The test is this. He climbed the high mountains. He captured the enemy and seized the plunder. He handed out gifts to the people. So God is saying we're all individuals, but we're all to walk the same road that gets us to heaven and gets as many people as we can take with us to heaven. Amen. Amen. If you'll stand with me, we're going to have prayer and enter into worship.
Amen. Well, Father, we thank you today. We thank you for all of our fathers. Lord, we just honor you today. You are the ultimate Father of fathers. God, we give you the glory and the praise this day. Father, we thank you for all the earthly fathers, and we ask you to bless them all over this earth. Father in heaven, that you'll move in their lives. Give courage to every discouraged one. Let the life of God fill them up and the wisdom of God. Father, for the hours that we're living in today. Father, we pray your grace be multiplied. Father, we pray that you'll impact every home, God in heaven, every family, in the name of Jesus. We pray that you'll strengthen every marriage, Father God, every union between, Father God, that husband and that wife. So, Lord Jesus, today we pray that you will be magnified and glorified through it all. And we honor you and praise you today. As you move in the midst of us, we give you thanks. And everybody said amen. Let's give him a good praise offering this morning.
Amen. Amen. Come on, Dan, let's worship the Lord.
My God, that is who you are.
worship you. Come on, sing it with me.
Waymaker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that is who you are.
Goodness of God.
see of the goodness of God.
we just lift our hands in reverence to our Father today. So, so sweet, your presence, oh God. We thank you, thank you. Thank you for this day, Lord. We worship you. Beautiful. I'm going to ask you to be seated right now in the presence of the Lord. I want Sean to come up and just be ready to receive tithe and offering. But before that, I'd like for every father in this house to stand. If you'll remain standing for just a second, on stage and whatever, just remain standing. Israel, if I could get you and a couple of ushers to pass out a pen. When you get your pen and bookmark, please sit down so we'll know. But we want to acknowledge you. Can we just give these men a hand clap? Fathers are so, so vital to the kingdom. My goodness, so vital. You carry a heavy responsibility and a big load. You really do. And if you think that your wife doesn't look to you or your children doesn't look to you, think again, because they're always watching. It's a heavy responsibility. Thank you so much. I pray you'll write some good stuff with that pen and use that bookmark in your Bible. Amen. Because that's where your strength comes from. And I love the table that Lisa and some of the ladies got together and did with the tithes and honoring fathers that have gone on and fathers that are still with us. Please take, it's worth taking time to go by those two tables and acknowledge these men of God back there. Our fathers, our dads. Amen. It's good. I'd rather have more than enough than not enough, that's for sure. We love the beautiful white flowers over here in memory of Mac. Very tasteful, very beautiful. Amen. I'm blessed to have my dad. He had called early this morning and said he just didn't think he'd be able to come. I understood. I didn't like it, but I understood. And I said, well, it's okay, Daddy. It's really okay. And he said, I know you want to be there. He said, well, it's more than want. Now listen to this, 89 years old. He said, I ought to be there. I love that. We need that. Yeah. All right, dear Sean, if you'll come, and thank you so much. You do such a good job. Might just have to put you on staff.
Praise the Lord. We have our tithes and offering. We ask the ushers to come up. And Lord, we just thank you, God. We praise you for everything that you've done so far, Father, for your presence. And we're praying, God, for increase upon every hand that is given, God. And we're just thanking you for everything that you've done. We love you and we bless your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
special to us. And so every Father's Day, I like to do this song that the Lord gave me to honor my dad, because basically that's the only time that I do it, is on Father's Day. So you just listen to the words of it. I'm sure it'll minister to you today and cause you to do some thinking. This morning, you got it made. Amen. Let's give all our fathers another clap this morning.
It's time to take up a Father's Day gift for our pastor, our bishop, our father of the house. Oh, so we want to do that today. Ushers, come. Y'all dig deep.
Mike, get the
lights. That pastor have 4 or 5 steaks today. So go take it up. Yes. But I'm going to tell you what, you know, as long as I've been here, a lot of you have been here longer, but as long as I've been here, I'm going to tell you, you've been awesome to me, Pastor. You really have.
Well, thank you.
And, you know, getting fed each and every week I come, there's not a week that I don't come that I don't get fed. And you can't say that about all churches, but I can say that about this.
Thank you, sir. So praise the Lord.
But y'all give and give like you want.
Amen. What a blessing all my men are to me. Amen. Praise God. I thank God for every one of them. I love you, brother. Amen. I'm just thinking about Israel. When he first came, I said, we're going to have a men's fellowship. So I broke him in right. So we had these heavy retaining wall blocks. And I said, we're going to have stakes. Didn't tell him what we were doing. So we had all these men that came out. And I had a big stack of stakes. And I said, but first we got to put the wall up. And so they laid all this wall out here, this retaining wall. And I said, man, we broke Israel in right, praise God. And so his mama's sitting over here. She didn't raise any lazy boys. Amen. So she did a good job with Israel. And we just have a good group of men, praise God. Amen. Good group, praise the Lord. 100%. Somebody say 100%. 100%. Well, how many feel good today? Hallelujah. Father's Day, praise God. And thank you for giving this morning. Thank you for doing that. What in the world?
There you go.
Oh, well, thank you, sir.
Yeah, he learned to always be prepared.
Thank you. Reminds me, we were in Panama one time doing some ministry over there, and we're preaching in a church, and a young man came up and he had had to sell his saxophone because of poverty that's in the nation. Wasn't able to pay his bills. And so that was part of the praise and worship that they had. And man, I'm telling you, he was a great saxophone player. So Spirit of the Lord just moved that night. And I called him up. We prayed for him and he hit the floor and out in the spirit. And we took up an offering. I said, and we're not even going to use plates. They covered him up with money. Laying in the floor, these Panamanians did, and Panamanians, but they came and covered him up with money. And so when he came to, he didn't even know it and realize it, but you know, he had money all over the place. And I said, you go get that saxophone back. And so all they had was a big old clear plastic bag. And you'd had to understand where we were at. We were like an hour out in the middle of nowhere and drug cartels and everything else. And I thought to myself, but don't, you got that clear bag of money, which is about this big around. Do not get caught with that. Somebody say amen. Neither in America get caught with a clear bag of money anywhere. How many knows that's not a good idea? All right, just checking. Well, praise God, you passed that test. Well, let's all stand together this morning. It's good to see in God's house and we want to honor Deborah's dad this morning. He's here with us. And my dad's in heaven today. I honor him. What a great man that he was. And I remember he and Mom used to sit over here. And so many times, my dad was really something. You know, he was a tenderhearted man. He didn't like for people to see him cry. And he would get to talking about his mama. And then he would break down and tears run down his cheeks. And I always like to tell the story about how that we used to go down there. And she was like, she wasn't quite 5 foot tall. I mean, Granny Coleman, and her hair was like in a little bun and it would touch the floor. And so we would go down to see her. She was like in her 90s, about the mid 90s. And so my dad was a, you know, good sized man. And he would go down and crawl up in her little 98 pound lap. And he said, your baby's here to see your mama. Because he was the baby out of 17. And I'm like, she would just smile. You know, I remember seeing her as a kid. And I'm like, and don't break her legs, you know, or nothing here. Because that was my concern as a kid. I said, Daddy, get out of her lap. She's not that big, you know. But
You know, I just can remember things like that little song he always told. His favorite line was, boy, you got it made. You got it made. You got it made. You got it made. Of course, at that time, I was thinking, yeah, right, I got it made, all right. I got to hoe the garden. I got to mow the grass. I got to take out the garbage. I got to, you know, do all these things, you know. But I can tell you, it was worth it all, and it works, praise God, to raise a kid right. Somebody say amen, and to point it in the right direction. And so that's what fathers are all about. He made a big impact. So I praise the Lord for that. Let's go ahead and turn our Bibles this morning to Proverbs chapter number 4. Proverbs chapter number 4. We're going to read from chapter 4, verses 10 through 13. And it is so good to see you in God's house today. Beautiful day outside. I was thinking this, it looks like it's going to rain, but now it looks like the sun's coming out. So I hope you have big plans today for your dad to do something special for him. Proverbs chapter number 4, and Solomon is writing, and this is what he says, verse 10. Hear, O my son, and receive my sayings, and the years of thy life shall be many. Now, number one, that ought to make you stick your ears up. How many want to live a long time? Amen. And feel good. I hear some people say, I want to live to be in 120, and I'm saying, not unless I feel good. Amen. Verse number 11. I have taught thee in the way of wisdom. I have led thee in right paths. Verse 12. When thou goest, thy steps shall not be straightened. And he means messed up. And when thou runnest, thou shalt not stumble. Take fast hold of instruction. Let her not go. Keep her. For she is thy life. Let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your holy word. Lord, and I today am humbled to be able to stand here in the midst of this people today. Father, with these fathers, Holy Spirit, I'm asking you to come and direct my every word. Lord, may I say something, God, that will encourage and bring strength and hope. And Father, I pray that we'll elevate fathers into a new level. Holy Spirit, we say we desperately need you to touch us, touch our ears, give us ears to hear. Father, in these hours, this day in which we live, we desperately need your touch. So Father, we commit this service to you. Thank you for the anointing. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. You may be seated. In Genesis chapter number 18, we probably read some of the greatest and most important scriptures in the Bible when it comes to fathers. And this is about Abraham, even though we're going to be talking about Solomon and David too. It says in verse 18 of chapter 18 of Genesis, seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him, for I know him, that he will command his children and his household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice and judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. This is the place where God begins to enter into covenant with Abraham, and he did so because he knew that he could trust Abraham and that Abraham would teach his children. And how many understand today that as a parent, that is a lifelong thing many times? I know that when my dad was alive, there probably wasn't a month that would go by that I wouldn't call him and at least ask him a question about something. How to fix this? How to do that? What do you think about this? But most important of all were the times that he would point me toward God, and when I would see him pray, and when oftentimes that he would come and try to pull me out of bed to tell me to go to church as a teenager, and I would run away to the neighbor's house and try to get lost, those kinds of things. But he always told me what was right and what was good. You see, the Lord knew that he could trust Abraham and that Abraham would pass on to his children the values and things that Abraham himself had learned. He would point them in the right direction. He would steer them toward God. You think about today, and even God made this so, because when God created man, he made the male the dominant figure in the world. Think about that. He made the male the dominant figure in the world. It's like that is a woman's covering, and sort of like in the world in which we live, when you have strong families and you have strong men, it's a covering, a type of covering for our nation. When that covering is removed, oftentimes women don't know what to do. If they're especially married women that lose their husbands, that covering is so important. It's there for protection. It's there for keeping. But I thank God that in spite of divorce or losing a husband or something like that, that our Heavenly Father has promised to be a husband, a wife, anything that we need. So God made it this way. But I want to say to you this morning, you can be a male and not a man. And we're not talking about transgenderism either right here. We'll get to that later maybe. Now listen to that. You can be a male and not a man. You've heard the saying, man up. Man, you need to man up. What does that mean? Take care of your family. What does that mean? Lead the way. Listen, you can be a married person, a married man, and not be a husband. You can be a breeder and not a father. Lust gives out a condom, but listen to me. Love gives a ring. There's more to being a man than even having a zipper. The male is to lead the way in the family and the spiritual things. That's the most important thing that you ever do, is to let your child see you pray, to let them see you acknowledge God, Dad. That's the most important thing. I was reading this statistic, how that a third of the children in America are illegitimate. Think about that. Fatherless. Half are raised without a father today. So this scripture that we read this morning about Abraham cannot be underemphasized when it comes to pointing people to the fact we need a daddy in the house. We need a father in the house. And we need a father is somebody that is going to put a hands on, speak the word, show them the way more than words, but by living it. Somebody say lifestyle. So you can talk all you want to and say things and words, but it's when you do it yourself, Dad, that it becomes important to your child. Don't just do as I say, do as I do. Because you just shoot me a bunch of bull here, you're just telling me things. I mean, why aren't you doing this yourself? You know what I'm saying this morning? So it's important. See, the importance of the Father becomes higher than the mountains itself when you begin to realize the statistics of half today are raised without fathers. 25 million children in America are fatherless. Man, that's mind-blowing. That's staggering to me. Growing up in a home that is without a father. And this has caused a void in America. You know why people march in the streets? You know why they burn cities? You know why they murder people? You know why they run around with their pants halfway down to their knees? You know why today that they, you know, that they do sexting? Do you know today why that they have such filth and immorality and transgenderism? This is the reason right here. It's because many males have never grown up. Why didn't they grow up? They didn't have a man in the house to teach them what's right and wrong. That was a good place to clap. Yeah. Yesterday as I was studying, and I just trying to cram my head as full as I could get it. You know, it's like Gypsy Smith, you know, said I reads myself full, then I poured myself out. So I'm going to try to remember and do some recall on some things that I was studying yesterday. And it was talking about the Jewish children and how that they would take those children, they would put them in the synagogue at 5 years old. And they would stay there and they would begin to teach them the things of God. And in the age of 10 to 12, then the males would continue to stay in the synagogue and the females would go in a different direction. And so as the males would stay in the synagogue, they would continue to hear and study and learn the things of God and the ways of God and be taught of their fathers. And then at the age of 20, which was considered adulthood for them, they were entering adulthood. Somebody say, well, that explains a lot to me now. Because it's not when they're 18 that you become adult. You may be able to go to the beer joint and get you a beer, and you may get to be 21 and be able to go to the liquor store and get you a fifth. But I want to tell you something. That'll mess up your life. It won't help you. But when they came to 20 years of age, they were entering into adulthood. And then they would stay there and they would learn. And then if a person decided that they wanted to be a rabbi, they would stay there and they would learn until they came to the age of 30 years of age. And there is where that person that was studying to be a rabbi was considered to be a mature spiritual person who could teach the word of God. They knew it inside and out. That is why Jesus is called the rabbi. But what I'm saying to you is when you go back and you look in the book of Proverbs and hear what I'm going to tell you this morning, where it says, train up a child in the way that it should go. When it is old, it shall not depart from it. How many have ever heard that scripture? I was reading things that people said yesterday about that particular scripture, and they were just distraught because they thought that they could just tell their child to go to church and tell their child to read the Bible and that everything would turn out okay. But that's not what it means. Because when it says train up a child, when you look that up in the scripture, the word there is the word that they talk about Hanukkah with, but they draw from it, and it's really Shana. And so when you use that word, it means dedication. And so they use it in the dedication of the priest. They use the word when they dedicate the temple. And so what he's talking about, he said, when you dedicate your child to God. Somebody say dedicate. And I thought about this, my mind went racing because I'm thinking to myself, I said, here we are, you know, our kids may be, you know, 16, 17, or now they may be in their 20s, and we're thinking to ourselves, you know, God, what's happening here? And I read that scripture, and according to what the Jews taught, that they said, once you dedicate that child, once you dedicate that child, you've laid your hands on it as a father, and you bless that kid. Remember in the Bible that that's exactly what Jacob did. Remember Jacob blessed his kids. Remember Esau in the Bible. But there's some things that God says or that he says in that particular scripture that's so important when it comes to blessing kids. And I want to just share this right here with you this morning. It is so important for fathers to lay their hands on their kids and to bless them. Now, I read this yesterday, and I was reading it from, I can't remember the person's name now, but they were saying this. They said that lots of times we get angry and we say things about our kids that we don't mean. We call them bumblehead dummies and you know, that, you know, you're going to grow up to be a hellion and you're doing this, you've messed up, and blah, blah. They said every time that you curse your child, you need to make sure that you back up and bless them seven times, which makes sense to me. Because, you know, when you spew all that stuff out on them, we have no idea how powerful that our words are. And when a father especially releases words over their children, listen, there's 10,000 things that people may say about them in the world in which we live. Somebody say amen. There's always somebody going to curse your kid. There's always somebody going to say bad stuff about your kid. And you got enough to do with all the curses that are flying in the air. But you listen, Dad, you're the one with the power in your mouth to lay hands on that child that you have and bless them in the name of Jesus and call them what you believe that God has chosen for them to be in life. And that's what the Bible says. When you dedicate that child, when it is old, it shall not depart from that path. Because you got something, Dad, instilled in you, deposited in you concerning your child that is prophetic that God gave to you. And listen, when you look through the Bible and you read those stories, and we're going to talk about Solomon and David here just in a few moments, how many knows that neither one of those guys were perfect? But they still did great things, didn't they? And so that's what we have to say this morning. Praise God. So I want to encourage you, Dad, today. Maybe your son or even maybe your daughter may not be doing exactly what you want them to be doing yet. And they may be in their 20s. Just hold fast, because God said it's your blessing that's going to count that you speak over them. Because the moment that you bless them and the moment that you dedicate them, it's God's now. And God is the one, the author of salvation and the author of life, that takes that child and walks them through life. How many knows that there's something that goes off in a teenager that just drives you batty? I'm going to say that line once again, because y'all looking at me like a cow with a new gate. I said, how many knows that when your kid, you know, hits the teens, that something goes crazy? And then you think to yourself, hallelujah, the 19th birthday. That's not a magic number. How many got kids in your 20s? You're thinking, my God, man, they weren't this bad when they were a teenager. I don't even hear an amen. Yeah. And so we think to ourselves, what is that? And I think in Western culture, we do not realize that in the scripture, that when God moved upon Abraham, he became a covenant man. There were things that Abraham passed on to his family, teaching him to bless the children, because they didn't just pick that up. It came out of the scripture, the things that God shared with this man, this covenant man of God, that he could do that would mark his kids for life. I'm reminded years ago that Ann Jimenez wrote a book. I think it was Marking Your Children for God. How powerful that book was, but it didn't really get into some of the levels that we have learned since then, because she talked about pleading the blood over them and praying over them. But I'm going to tell you, there is an intensity to your blessing, Dad, that when you pray it, it goes into them, gets in their DNA, and it writes the history that's in their future, and you're calling them what you believe that God has chosen them to be. Somebody say glory to God. There's power in your spirit. There's power in your mouth, Daddy. Come on. There's power. Why do you think that the Jewish children sought the blessing of the father? Why do you think Rebecca schemed and said, I don't want Esau getting this. I gotta have Jacob to get this blessing here. I've got to have this to happen. And we read that and we think about, you know, Esau selling his birthright and how Jacob connived and came in and received the blessing. Amen. Because Isaac was old and couldn't see good. Was kind of deaf. Everybody say deaf. But they coveted that blessing. They coveted it because they knew that the moment that the words went out of their mouth to bless that kid, that their future was going to be what Papa said that it was going to be. Somebody say glory to God. And so it would be passed on to the first in line, the firstborn. Amen. Can I tell you that Jesus is the firstborn among many brethren today? Look at somebody say, I'm born again. That's like being a firstborn. I'm in Christ. I'm part of his body. I belong to him. His blessing is my blessing through covenant relationship today. But I think in Western culture that we missed the power that there is when we pray that blessing over our children. Train up a way. Dedicate the way. Dedicate that child to God. Speak over that child in Jesus' name. Amen. Man, I was reading testimonies and about people that said, I've trained and I've done everything that I know to do, and they haven't even come near anything that I've dedicated them to do. And I began to study this about the Jewish people, because the Lord began to deal with me during the week. He said, I want you to go study that scripture, because it ain't what you think it is. Oh, yeah, it has to do with training. It has to do with teaching. It has to do, but there is so much more to that that I'm telling you this morning. He says, don't, it's not just train up. He said, dedicate a child into that. When Solomon dedicated the temple, the glory showed up. Did it not? Somebody say, yes, it did. Praise God. When you dedicate something to God, when Jesus was baptized in the water at the age of 30, and this is what I was thinking yesterday, because, man, I broke down in my office in there. I was reading that, and I said, bam, it just like hit me like a ton of bricks. And I'm thinking, you know, there Jesus is entering into ministry at the age of 30 because of curiosity. I'm thinking to myself, and then he's baptized with water, and the Holy Ghost comes down upon him and remains upon his life. And then what happens? The Father. I got to back up a little bit. When Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan, Mary, his mother, was present. We never think about that. Do you think mama is going to miss the baptism? Look at somebody and say, no, she's coming. She's coming. Mama's going to be at the baptism. Why? Joseph is dead. He died earlier, years earlier. I think historically, probably when Jesus was a teenager, that Joseph passed away because that was not his biological father. How many knows that? Joseph was not Jesus' biological father. He fulfilled the role as being Jesus' daddy. But when Jesus was baptized, man, I was sitting and I was thinking to myself, I said, wham, man, the heavens open. When Jesus was baptized in water, he was being dedicated not by an earthly father, but by the heavenly father that spoke out of heaven and said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Oh, come on, somebody ought to really praise God right there. Somebody said, what is the importance of that? The importance of it was this, that God Almighty couldn't come down and read from Isaiah 61 and what he wanted to really say for Jesus, but Jesus goes and does it himself. Why? Because he is God. And he stood up in the synagogue where he had been studying now for many, many years, and he stands up in front of those people as a rabbi, and he tells them, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me. I have just been baptized in water. I have been dedicated by my Father. And this is my assignment in the world in which we live. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, to set at liberty the bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of the vengeance of our God, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garments of praise for the spirit of heaviness. From that moment forward, Jesus entered into the thing that the Father had blessed him and called him to do, the messianic office of Messiah coming into this earth. We sang about it this morning, Yeshua, 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 my rabbi. And it's Mary Magdalene to call him Rabboni, which just means, it means my great teacher. Not just master, but my great master, my great master. And so what I want you to get this morning, if God the Father takes the time to dedicate his son, how much more should fathers like you and I take the time to lay hands on our kid? I can tell you the first time that I learned about blessing and I laid my hands on Austin, I saw change. Every time that I've laid my hands on him, I have seen change. And I'm thinking to myself, oh man, the more I learn, the more change is going to come. And I've told him many times, see, I don't see him sitting here this morning. Is he here anywhere? Okay. I'm thinking to myself, I've told him, I said, come kicking, screaming, hell or high water. I said, you will do what God called you to do. You're going to do it anointed of the Holy Ghost and fire because God is going to have his way. Listen, right there he comes sneaking in. Because I love him. He's my kid. My son. I'm going to get him before the service is over. And see, this is so important because, listen, my dad did not get to lay hands on me and bless me. I wish that I could have had my father lay, if I could have taught him this, my God, I think what could have been deposited in me. Because, listen, my dad told me, he said, when I was growing up, there were 17 in his family, and I was out in the middle of the tobacco field where we were farming. And they had, you know, they had over several hundred acres or whatever they were farming. And he said that they had a big old barn down there. And he said, God spoke to me in the middle of that field and told me and called me to preach the word. I went and told my brothers, they laughed and made fun of me, and I never did it. They say, oh, you just heard. You're not called to preach. God didn't tell you to do this. And I'm thinking to myself, my friend, listen, when your Father in heaven speaks to you, it trumps everything anybody else says. You don't have to go ask your brother, your sister. You don't have to ask anybody. If he speaks to you, your Father in heaven trumps everybody. Somebody say, yes, he does. And then he told me his life progressed and he began to drink alcohol because they made bootleg liquor and sold it, and et cetera, et cetera, in the family. He said, as time progressed, he said, I would see the devil standing down at that barn, peeking around the corner, looking at me. And I remember several years before he passed away, probably about 10 years before he passed away, one day I was out talking to him. I said, Daddy, I said, I believe. Now listen, I believe God called you to preach. He got mad. Angry. Now, understand what I'm saying. You know what happened a few years later? My daddy came to me and said, you know what? God called me to preach. Oh man, see, this is so important this morning, is that we understand. See, if I can go back and I think back historically, I mean, I can see things in the spirit, you know, that God was doing, but I can see the enemy intervening to stop things. It's like with us and our own kids today. Listen, kids, I'm telling you right now, the devil's after you. The devil does not want you to make it. The devil will come in your head and try to tell you what you're missing out on, what you can do and where you can go and what you can have and the fun times you will have. He will get you to sell your body. He will get you to suck drugs and smoke and alcohol into it and do anything he can to try to get you to think about false gods and serving anything that he possibly can. But the devil is a liar, and the Bible says he is the father of all liars. Somebody say, the devil is a liar and the father of all liars. But I say this to you today, young person, God has a plan for you, a purpose for you. He has chosen you. He has something so big in your life that you can't even fathom what it is. And the devil wants to try his best to occupy your mind and occupy that space. And those smoke screens will come to try to get you from seeing what God in heaven has called you to do. But I'm telling you, Daddy, fathers, listen to me. You need to get your kid and lay hands on their head, and you need to speak it. Listen, you might say, I don't know what to pray. Believe me, it'll roll up out of you. It'll come up out of your spirit, and you'll speak that blessing over them that the Holy Ghost gives you to say. Come on, somebody. Bless your kid. I don't care if they're married and gone. I was watching a program some months ago, and they were talking about this very thing, the blessing children. And they were talking about this one man had been in prison, out of prison, in prison, out of prison, in prison, out of prison. And his daddy had died and gone on to heaven. And he said, what can he do? What can he do? I think that the man had been to the cemetery, been to visit his dad's grave and so forth. He said, go to the pastor and get him to lay hands on you, because he is your father. Because listen to what did Paul say to the Corinthian church? What did he say? He said, you have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you have not many fathers. See, Aaronic priesthood is passed on through bloodline. It's a little bit different. We have stuff passed on to us through Christ, our high priest. I have the right as an individual to bless people because of my office that I stand in fivefold ministry. And so if you don't have a dad that's alive, I will bless you. I will pray for you. But listen, this man that was in prison, in and out, his life was messed up. Listen to what happened. He got them to pray for him. They anointed him and they dedicated him to God. From that day forth, the chains broke. He was set free and he went out. Listen to this. He was called into the ministry and began to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Somebody say hallelujah. Somebody said the devil tried to mess him up from the time he was born to the present hour of his deliverance. It's important not to be dismayed about life and about kids, or to throw up your hands and say, I don't know what to do. Oh, yes, you do. Bless and curse not. Bless and curse not. Oh, my goodness. I was thinking yesterday, I said, man, I can't wait to get my hands on Austin. I can't wait to get my hands on people. And Jesus, listen, when he stood up in that synagogue, could not wait to get his hands on humanity. Because from that time forward, he healed many that were sick, worked miracles, cast out devils, raised the dead. Because he was dedicated to that end. Hallelujah. Look at somebody and say, you got more in you than you think. You have more inside of you than you think. Amen. How many of those television will mess you up? Listen, there's nothing on the TV that has a healthy family on it. Can I talk? Listen, I don't need two men drooling over each other, you know, over a cup of coffee or over a piece of pie or over, you know, whatever. I don't need to watch, you know, a DIY that they're going to go to a house and, you know, renovate the thing together. I'm sitting there thinking to myself, look, this is sick. The sickness of society will try to put up on you and up on your children things that are perverted that God never intended. That's a floodgate from hell. And fathers, stop that. Somebody say, Father, stop that. Austin will tell you if you ask him when he was growing up and we watched, I said, I ain't watching it. I'm not going to the movie. I'm not going to do it. I'm not. He knows. He knows. Ain't happening. I'm not listening to somebody get up and say, GD, the F-bomb. I'm not getting to somebody that's going to throw things at me. Don't even bring it. Don't want nothing to do with it. Why? Because my spirit's reborn. God's in it. And I've been dedicated to God. I'm blessed. My temple is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Somebody said, well, that's religious and, you know, that's the law. No, it's not. It's God. It's the Word. It's Scripture. Look at somebody say, you're supposed to be holy. And holy has nothing to do. Well, I don't want to get off on a tangent. But see, fathers, it's important that you tell your kid what's right. If you're watching something wholesome and good and an advertisement comes on TV and you say, what you do is you flip the channel and say, I want to explain to you what you just saw is wrong. That is wrong. Men do not get in the bed with men. Women don't get in the bed with women. Somebody said, man, this is clean. Well, it's just like, you know, we want to try to hide things from children. They've seen it. They've heard it. Critical race theory is going to shove it down their throat. This garbage that's in the world in which we live. But the power of that blessing that you give is an impartation. Somebody said, what's an impartation? It's something that comes out of something that's righteous and holy and hits you and goes inside of you that you receive from God. And that's what that blessing does. It runs out of you into them. I was sharing with Deborah the other day, about Dr. Lowry. And I said, when he was in his 80s, and I said, we were, you know, maybe around 80, and we were in Panama down there. In fact, it was so hot, you felt like your hair was going to melt off your head. I mean, in the sanctuary, there are thousands, I mean, like 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 people in that place. And there were dignitaries that are sitting there and everything else. I said, you know, it's amazing that he got up and preached like he was an 18-year-old man. Never breathed hard. Never missed a thing. I mean, just flowed out of him like a mighty river. And the reason I said that is because I've seen people that are not even half his age get winded. Because he's in heaven now. The reason I'm saying that to you is the difference between an impartation from God and an impartation from the world. Somebody say God can always gives you life. Always gives you life. The devil always gives you death. Amen? The power of that blessing. I want to read this scripture to you. Again, out of Proverbs, listen to what it says. And I'm going to read from a different translation to you today from the scriptures a second time. My child, listen to me and do as I say, and you will have a long, good life. I will teach you wisdom's way and lead you by straight paths. If you live a life guided by wisdom, you won't limp or stumble as you run. Carry out my instructions. Don't forsake them. Guard them, for they will lead you in a fulfilled life. So what is being said here is that Solomon is saying, my child, listen to me. This is something he received from David, his father. Listen to me. I'm going to give you something that my father David gave to me, because it shifts in here and then something comes out of Solomon in a few minutes. But right here he says, live out my faith. This, I got what I'm telling you from my father, who was a man that was after God's own heart. I've got this from my father, and I'm just going to kind of read between the lines, because I believe that David laid hands on him. I really do. And I believe that those things were imparted to Solomon, because, and we can point at David's life and say, man, he messed up royally with Bathsheba. Man, he was messed up here and he messed up there. But you know, when God called him, I want you to think about this. Before God ever chose him as a young teenage man, God said, he is after my own heart. So David passed on something to Solomon that Solomon got, that he's now passing it on to his son. Somebody said, well, Solomon was a messed up dude too. Yes, he was. But what you've got to get is that in life, these guys were repentant. They knew the value of passing on something that was right and true into their children. The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They poured this in them. They were raised in the ways of God. According to the Jewish custom, they were raised in those ways. And so Solomon says, my child, listen to me and do as I say. Like we said a few minutes ago, you do not want to tell a kid something and you turn around and do the opposite. Why? Because you're a liar. I said, you're a liar. You tell your kid something and you say, this is how you live, this is how you act, and you turn around and you do something totally opposite, you're a liar. Look at somebody and say, that's heavy, but that's true. Amen. So if I'm going to tell my kid something, I'm going to do it. I'm going to live up to that. Because, listen, if I lived under that kind of hypocrisy, let me tell you about my dad. My dad was not a perfect man, but what my dad did is he instilled values into me to make an honest day's wage, to treat people right. He taught me to tell the truth. He taught me to always behave myself in a proper manner, and all the different, just all kinds of different things in life. And you know what? He did exactly what he told me to do. Because never once did I say, well, he's telling me to do this and he's out doing that. Because if you tell your kid not to go out and drink and you're turning up one in front of them, you're a hypocrite and a liar. That's heavy, but you know what? Somebody needs to tell people the truth. I've got just a little time left. I'm going to tell you this story and we're going to have to close. Years ago, there was a man who lost his son in an automobile accident. When they went to the automobile accident, they found broken fifths of alcohol. The boy was drunk. And so this boy's father became enraged. I mean, he was ready to murder somebody. He was going to kill him. He said, if I ever find out who gave my child alcohol, if I ever find out who gave him this, I will kill them. A couple of days later, he was so distraught, and this is before the funeral happened. He walked into his office in his house, and himself had a liquor cabinet. He goes over to the liquor cabinet, and there's a note. Dad, you told me to always drink responsibly. How many knows alcohol always takes you further than you want to go? It's a taker. It's not a giver. Wine is a marker. Strong drink a rage. Those that are deceived by that thereby are not wise, Proverbs says. Now, is God smart or are we? Hmm? It leads to lewdness. It leads to sensuality. It leads to immorality. I mean, man, I could show you thousands of things. Now listen, this guy picked that up and he read that note. He said, "Dad, I knew you wouldn't mind because you taught me to drink responsibly." But the point of responsible, wherever that was, got lost. That man ended up turning and becoming an advocate against drunk driving. But the moral of the story is this: always give the right information to your kid, and always tell them what's really true. Because there's no statistic that says that alcohol is good. It destroys your liver. It'll destroy your life. It's destroyed homes. It's destroyed children. And on down the line it goes. Dads, you have a great responsibility. We're living in a time. Patrick County is probably one of the world's worst. Social living, social drinking, social get-togethers, and all the different things. Listen, there's nothing wrong with that. And I can go to any social thing that I want to, and I don't care what they're doing, but I will not drink their wine or dance to their music or party with them. So I have to ask myself, does this measure up to what God wants me to do? I have to ask myself the question, what is my assignment in life? What does Christ expect out of me? He may want me to just be a light in that situation, to go to be a witness. Think about it. Yeah, this is strong. It needs to be. Because it's one thing to hear a story like that, but it's another thing to preach a funeral and have the parents sitting right here weeping and crying, not able to recover a loss. But dads, you have responsibility. You cannot take drugs and expect your kid not to because you say don't do it. You cannot go out and commit adultery and tell your kid not to do it once they see you doing it. You can't live a dishonest life and expect your kid to be honest. It's impossible. Because your actions are going to speak a whole lot louder than your words. And so Solomon's saying, I got this from my daddy, and I'm passing this on to you. Solomon, in return, took that and turned it around and began to pass forward things that he had learned himself to his children. God said about Abraham, I know him. I know him. That he will teach his children and tell them the right way. And so that's what we want to do as fathers. I want us to stand together this morning. As fathers, teach the right thing, do the right thing. Amen? Do the right thing. Now, this is what I want us to do this morning, and I feel this strong, is I would like for fathers to get your children and bring them and stand right here. If you would, please. If you're a father today and you have your child is here, I want you to get them and bring them down. If the daddy's not here, mama, you bring them. You bring them. Believe me, God knows. Amen. Oh, this is beautiful. This is beautiful. Praise God. Mike, will you come down? Just go anoint all of these today for me, please. Is cut out for us, and what I want to share with you while these are being anointed today, as I mentioned this at the beginning, strong fathers make for a strong nation. Demoralized fathers make for a demoralized nation. If we can get family strengthened and fathers strong, our nation will change. Transgenderism will go away. I mean, the LGBT Gee, I can't even think of all the things that it is, but that will begin to disappear. Listen, and I don't hate those people. I'm telling you, there is a problem morally and spiritually. There is a problem there that needs to be corrected. This is one of the places that you start. It's what we view with our eyes, what we listen to with our ears, the places that we go, the things that we do. We have got to begin to have a check in our spirit, and we've got to say, wait a minute, what would Jesus do? WWJD. Somebody say amen. Amen. And I'm going to tell you, something good is getting ready to happen today. Something good is getting ready to happen in just a few moments. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Now, I want, come over here, Austin. I want the children, I want you to, and your mamas too, you mamas need to be down here with the dads. But I want you to gather around your parents. I want the children to get around their parents. I want the children to get around their parents. Yeah, just circle them, just like a bunch of wagons. I will say like the cowboys and Indians, but I got to be politically correct. Encircle them. Encircle them. Now, Dad, you're the covering for the home. You're the priest of the house. You got more power in you than you even realize. I want you, in just a few moments when I give the word, you lay your hands on all your family and your wife, and you bless them. This is the dedication. If you feel something in your heart that you need to say over them, you say it. So, Father, I bless right now. I bless my son. He's going to carry the gospel. He's going to reach nations. I bless him, Father God, to be a godly man. I bless him, Lord, with the anointing. I bless him to flow in the prophetic. I bless him to always do what's right. Whatever you feel, roll up out of your spirit. Dad, I want you to pray that over them. When you lay your hands upon these kids today, and we're going to take our time. We're just not going to spit out three words and quit. We're going to pray. We're going to pray over them right now. Amen. This is a life or death thing. So we're going to pour out our spirit here in a few moments. So that's why I want those kids. Dad, you're going to be right in the middle. You're going to get your hands all over. Amen. Got power in your hands. Amen. So we want to do that. Okay. Mary Jane, you come down here. We're going to pray for your family too. Matt and Jeremiah and Johnny. Amen. We'll get them all today. Praise God. Man, I want you to lift up your voice too. Don't be no Mickey Mouse. Don't be a Mickey Mouse. Let it pour out of you today. Come over here, listen, we'll pray all of them together. Amen. Glory to God. So are you ready? And you guys out there, you stretch forth your hand. If you got kids, moms and dads, you just agree together. If your friends agree together over your families and your children, agree together. Wherever they're at today, reach out by faith and touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. 1, 2, 3. Bless in the name of Jesus. Father, today, in the name of Jesus, we bless Matt, Jeremiah, Johnny. Lord, in the name of Jesus, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Father, as we just pray over Jeremiah, God, I stir up the gifts, Father God. Call him, Father God, forth into that you've chosen him for in the name of Jesus. Oh, God, may the blessing of God be upon him with wisdom and knowledge and understanding. Father, today, Lord, in Jesus' name, over Matt, Father God, your kingdom come and your will be done. Father, over him in Jesus' name. Lord, he and Mallory, Father, their children, Father God. Lord, in the name of Jesus, we send the blessing. We dedicate them to your purposes, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. And Father Johnny today, Father, we dedicate him to the purpose of the Lord. Oh, God, may the things that you've called him to do rise up in his heart and lead him, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray for Mary Jane today. We bless her, oh, God, to be a mouthpiece of wisdom and knowledge and power and understanding to those kids. Oh, God, in the name of Jesus, to those grandchildren. Father God, and to their children's children in the name of Jesus. Father, we praise you today. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, Father, today, Father, I bless Austin. Lord, and I just thank you right now for the gift of God that you placed in his life. Lord, I call that anointing up. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I call your righteousness up, Father God. I call your purity up. I call your strength up, Father God. For you've chosen him for a great purpose, Father. Oh, in the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you right now for anointing him. I thank you, Father God, that his gift is going to bring him before great people. I thank you, Father God, that in the name of Jesus, Lord, that as he's dedicated, Lord, Father God, into that that you've chosen him for, the blind will see and the lame will walk and the dumb will speak and the deaf will hear and the dead shall be raised up. Father, in the name of Jesus, he will set free, Father God, those that are bound. Father God, in the name of Jesus, Father God, from rejection, insecurity, Father God, Lord, abandonment issues. In the name of Jesus, Father, he will lift them up through your name out of the pits of despair, Father God, in darkness. Lord, I bless him today to have a clear mind. I pray, Holy Ghost, and I fasten barbs into his spirit that call him into the paths of righteousness. I lay my hands on him in the name of Jesus and impart, Father God, the yoke destroying, burden lifting anointing today of the Holy Ghost. And Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray that you will bless the work of his hand that you called it to be put to. And in the name of Jesus, Father, it's in your hand. You're the God of heaven. You're the great high priest. And we honor you today as we dedicate, Father. In Jesus' name, our great rabbi. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father God. Father, I bless today, Deborah. Father God, with your peace, your covering, your protection, your health, your goodness, your power. Oh, Lord God, that every footstep, Father God, would be one that is taken with the might and power of the Spirit of the living God. Lord, I plead the blood of Jesus over her. Lord, and I pray, give her a mouth of wisdom, knowledge, and a heart of understanding. Lord God, let it be, Father God, let it be so, let it be so. Oh, let a seal, the signet of your ring be upon her heart, God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we praise you, Father. We praise you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. In Jesus' name, the blessing of God that carried this word, Father God, that lives will be transformed. We honor you, Father. Hallelujah. 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 Can we give God a praise offering right now? Amen. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You go right ahead. You're going to bless me.
Everybody.
Oh, yeah. Everybody bless me. Yes. There you go. Come bless me. Come and bless me. Listen, may the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May he lift his countenance to you. May he be gracious to you and may he grant you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's give praise to God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You can go back to your seat. One thing I need to talk about, July the 4th, we're having a big deal here. We're going to let bombs off, missiles. Well, it's going to be loud. I'm going to tell you one thing. It's the real deal. Somebody say the real deal. So we're having the real fireworks just like we did last year. We're having food on the grounds, and we're going to have a water slide for the kids, jumpy house, and, you know, anything that they can play, and we're going to...